Blog Talk Radio.
I mean that shit, cause these white folks see us and stuff. I don't care what y'all say. I don't care if you think you a lawyer, if you a man, if you an African American, if you whatever the fuck you think you are. We sell the niggas to these motherfuckers. You know, and until we own some shit, I'ma call it for like it is. How you gonna be a man if you suck?
There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food. But he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, we got a good house here, the house Negro said, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro.
Blogger, what's going on, people? Hope everybody's feeling fine. Hope everything's all right. First off, I'd like to give a shout out to my family, my wifey. You know, shout out to her always. Everybody else that's been supporting the show from day one, the Mad Blogger. Thank you for the support. Thank you for, you know, just checking the blog and just, you know, basically just staying in tune with Third Eye Vision. It's been about 2 weeks. We back live and direct. Today's show is basically about the founder of Planned Parenthood, the founder of basic, you know, modern-day abortion and everything. Just to have people aware that, you know, as black people, whatever you want to call us, Negroes, black, anything other than African-American, I mean, real talk, you have to think about the words. These words are real strong, and these words are what keep us contained and what keep us locked inside the box and thinking a certain way. Most people don't think about the origins of the things that they believe in, the things that they follow, the laws and everything. It's just you have to think about the origin of these things and have to seek the truth yourself. People could tell you whatever. If you don't do your own homework, you don't go out there, you don't do what you need to do and seek the right information and truth, you'll stay lost. So that's the problem we have today, because a lot of people are lost. A lot of people want to indulge in this and then say they positive or spiritual or religious people. Religion is mental jail, mental slavery. Alright, not there's only one God, and that God is everything that is good. Whatever you choose to call God, that's on you. It's only one. Alright, it's only one Messiah. You know, we have a bunch of false prophets and all these evangelists on TV, on the radio, claiming that God sent them a message and all that. Say, that's all bullshit. All right. No hold bars in 2015, because it's time for people to wake up. And the only thing people understand is ignorance. So you have to give them this freedom, that knowledge, but sometimes you have to slide to the ignorance just so they can understand. You know, all that is bullshit. It's time for you to wake up, people. Time for you to open your eyes and really stop listening with your eyes. And really, because it's like you believe everything you see. Like, and then the flaws are all, and there's flaws everywhere, and you don't see the flaws because you're blinded, because they have you programmed. They have you a slave mentally. That's worse than physical slavery. You're mentally confined to this box. You're mentally confined to one way of thinking. You're mentally confined to one way of dressing. You're mentally confined to these limitations that they set for you, and you accept it, right? And that's what people do these days. People don't understand strength. no more. You have to really enforce it and twist it, and it doesn't matter who you're dealing with. You could be doing a business deal, and they're not going to respect you unless you're strong. If you're weak, they're going to give you a weak man's deal. They're going to give you a weak man's offer. But if you have some strength, if you can stand up and look them in the eyes and be confident in who you are, believe me, most likely, most of the time, you will get the things that you want. Now, everything has some sort of sacrifice, or something you might have to sacrifice, or some things you might have to sacrifice to get to that level. You know what I mean? And as human beings, nobody's perfect. We all susceptible to make mistakes. We all have a balance of positive and negative energy in our life. It's what you choose to give off. I mean, yeah, you could be upset here, and 10 minutes later you could be happy. I mean, as long as you don't fuel that energy does not live. But if you go on and you go on and you go on, you feed that energy lives. Take it from me, because, you know, I get angry quick. But at the same time, I'm learning how to cap that. How to cap it. Like, okay, this ain't worth it. Forget it. Think about something positive. Think about doing something positive. Think about growing. Not think about stagnation. And as black people, we stay stagnated. And why do we stay stagnated? Because we don't build within our communities. We don't build with each other. We're so busy trying to be better than each other. We don't take the time to build with each other. And then our youth, they only believe what they see. Maybe 95 or 90% of the youth these days think that hip-hop is real. All right? And it's sad. It's sad because there's no real men standing up saying, yo, listen, this is not it. And the ones such as myself and other men out here that's trying to stand up, they just look at us like we're crazy, not knowing that we done lived this. We done been through it the same way our elders before us told us the same thing. I mean, and these days, it's like, okay, you see a guy like Rick Ross. He's not real. He stole somebody's identity. But yet he's still respected in the hip-hop world. But as a man, he's a fraud. But people accept him. So you, as a person, need to, and this goes for everybody, you need to figure out who you are, where you want to go, what you about, what you stand for, what you live for. You know, what's good for you, what's bad for you, what's going to change, what are you going to change about yourself, what are you happy with within yourself. All right, and not to stray away from the subject, okay, but now the show. For those that don't know the truth about Margaret Sanger, for those that don't know who Margaret Sanger is, like I said, she was the founder of Planned Parenthood. All right, and Planned Parenthood basically was started to destroy African Americans, or whatever you want to call them, Negroes, whatever you want to call us, to destroy us, to basically control the reproduction of our people. See, slavery ended in a physical aspect, but it didn't end in a mental aspect, in a propaganda aspect. Because one thing is that as black men and women, they experimented on us. Tuskegee experiment. We could go on for days about the different experiments, different things, and the different pain and torture that our people have went through in this country. All right, and today, out of all days, I would like to say blessings to Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, I definitely respect what he stood for. Certain things I don't feel the same way, but that's just my personal views. But I still respect and honor on his birthday. He's a great man. He fought for, you know, some great issues and great change. Unfortunately, our country, you know, they put out what they want to put out to create their picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. But we know that he did a lot for our people. But as we know to this day, marching and all that really doesn't get anything solved. But the problem still exists after we march, after we put up the picket signs. The problem still exists. But definitely, to Martin Luther King, and people understand that since slavery, since we came here, our ancestors, or certain people ancestors, because we also had Indians who were black. There were people here before, you know, the Europeans landed in this some country. So it could go two different directions, but at the same time, you're still black. And the things that we had to go through, all right, as a people, you would think that we would be more unified, have more unity. I mean, at this time that we're in right now, all the struggle and pain that we've been through. But, see, the thing about the enemy is this. The enemy's war is a mental war. All right? Being brawnness and physical war is okay. But the mental war, if you go win a mental war, then you're powerful. And what they do and what they're doing to our people is, they have an all-out mental war, all right? They pit us against ourselves. They have us thinking being black is not the way, yet everybody wants to be black. Even the Caucasian women want to have fat lips and fat booties now, but yet they make us hate ourselves. Not us, should I say, but our people hate ourselves. And that's where the root of our problem really lies, that we hate ourselves. Why do we hate ourselves? Because the images that we portray. The images that our kids see growing up, the communities with no hope, you know, the communities with no inspiration. Athletes like Michael Jordan who make sneakers for the rich white people came verbatim out of his mouth. You would think that he would make sneakers affordable for his people. So understand, people, it's real, but not to stray away from the subject. A brief introduction to who Margaret Higgins Sanger was. She was an American birth control activist, a sex educator, and a nurse. She popularized the term birth control, opened the first birth control clinic in the United States, and established organizations that evolved into the Planned Parenthood Federation of America people. Her efforts contributed to several judicial cases that helped legalize contraception in the United States. Sanger is a frequent target of criticism by opponents of birth control and has also been criticized for supporting eugenics, but remains an iconic figure in American reproduction rights movement. Now, in 1916, she opened the first birth control clinic in the United States, which led to her arrest for distributing information on contraception. Her trial and appeal generated controversy. She felt that in order for women to have a more equal footing in society and to lead healthier lives, they needed to be able to determine when to bear children. She also wanted to prevent unsafe abortions, so-called back-alley abortions, which were common at the time because abortions was usually illegal. She believed that while abortions were sometimes justified, it should generally be avoided, and she considered contraception the only practical way to avoid the use of abortions. Now, to proceed on, all that sound good, okay? Sounds good. Now, let's go to the truth about Miss Margaret Sanger and how Planned Parenthood duped America. You can also read this article on my site, www.thirdeyevision.com. You know how I do it, because we are the past, we are the present, we are the future. All right, now, at a March 1925 International Birth Control Gathering in New York City, a speaker warned of the menace posed by the black and yellow peril. The man was not a Nazi or a Klansman. He was Dr. S. Adolf Knopf, a member of Margaret Sanger's American Birth Control League, which, along with other groups, eventually became known as the Planned Parenthood. Sanger's other colleagues included avowed and sophisticated racists, one Lothrop Stutter. He was a Harvard graduate and author of The Rising Tide of Color Against White Supremacy. Stutter was something of a Nazi enthusiast who described the eugenics practice of the Third Reich as scientific and humanitarian. And Dr. Harry Lachlan, another Sanger associate board member for a group, spoke of purifying America's human breeding stock and purging America's bad strains. These strains included the shiftlessness and ignorant and worthless class of antisocial whites of the South. Now, not to be outdone by her followers, Margaret Sanger spoke of sterilizing those she designated as unfit and a plan she said would be the salvation of American civilization. Excuse me, people. She also spoke of those who were irresponsible and reckless, among whom she included, whose religious scruples prevented their exercising control over their numbers. She further contended that there was no doubt in the minds of all thinking people that the procreation of this group should be stopped. That many Americans of African origin constituted a segment of Sanger's considered unfit. Also, she felt that, you know, we were both also our people was unfit to bear children. Now these days, Planned Parenthood is globalized worldwide. Also, Martin Luther King, I think it's in 1966, Martin Luther King received the Margaret Sanger's Award. What a coincidence, right? Now, Sanger had an obsession with eugenics. It could be traced back to her own family. One of 11 children, she wrote an autobiographical book, My Fight for Birth Control. I associated poverty, toil, unemployment, drunkenness, cruelty, quarreling, fighting, debts, jails with large families. Just as important was the impression in her childhood of an inferior family status. Free thinking was the views of her father, who was an anti-Catholic. So, basically, her parenthood was started, people, to stop the procreation of black people. See, the Holocaust, they exterminated Jews, yes. But the black Holocaust, you need to times that by 10. There's over 5 million, probably, and I'm just estimating, slaves that didn't make it to America from Africa. So think about that. Not even to speak of the slaves and the ancestors that were actually pillaged and tormented and here in America as slaves. So think about it. It's something for people to think about these days. Only 400 and something years later, as we walk on this American soil, we still go through the same problems that our ancestors went through, but in a different way. See, now they just painted the picture. They just covered it up and made it look pretty. Okay? It's the same thing. The Ku Klux Klan not wearing white sheets no more. They wearing police uniforms. That we know. So what are we going to do about it? What are people going to do about it? The same way when you go to the doctor. Are you going to believe everything that a doctor tell you, or are you going to get a second or third opinion? Maybe a fourth opinion. Think about these things. All right, and today we have the extermination of our babies through Planned Parenthood. We also have the vaccines, which either they're gonna kill it, either they're gonna kill you in the womb. But a famous quote by Pastor Kennard Childress Jr.: "The most dangerous place for African Americans is in the womb." And you think about that. Why is it? Because they exterminate us in the womb. Oh, you had an unplanned pregnancy, get an abortion. You didn't plan this. You're unfit to be a mother. Get an abortion. So you think of this. You think of every day how many living fetuses are being exterminated daily. Daily. In the 50 states or the 52 some odd states. Think about it. And when you add it up, it hurt because these are all living souls that are being exterminated, not given a chance to live. Everyone has been through that situation. You know, can't say everybody, but most people have been through a situation of having an abortion, not understanding what an abortion is. But I didn't understand it when I, you know, when that time came when I was younger. If I understood it, I would, I'd be like, hell no. But we all people that do it, misinformed. You know, they're thinking about the financial aspect. But the financial aspect is part of it, but a life is worth more than any dollar amount. If you brought life into this world, you have to understand that's a life. It's a living being. And that's what they take away, like the Planned Parenthoods and all these other companies. That's what they take away is the humanity. The humanity, that this is a human being. You know, just because it's not formed to a specification or a limitation that you have set, okay, that or to that a point that you set, so if it's 6 to 3 weeks or whatever, I don't even know. how long it is before you can't have an abortion. But between that time period, who are they to justify at what point? You don't know. You're not that living fetus. You weren't aborted when you were a baby to know what's going on. Nobody knows. So how you know the pain that that fetus or that child is going through when you give this abortion? You know, and in the time we're in now, people are more like barbarians, not too far from beasts these days. Animal conditioning, I mean, people are here doing reckless, crazy things. And it's sad the things you see people doing. Even the posts that people put up on these social networks of people's heads getting cut off and people getting shot up and all that. Like, what? You must be, you're feeding that. You're just as bad as the person that made the fucking video. You posting it for what? To get it to the police? Send it to your neighborhood police department. You have to post it on a social network to glorify the massacre of our own people, of us killing our own people. We're the only people that kill our own people and slay our own people. Just to be tough or just to be bigger than the next man. So what I'm saying to you is, from this point on to all my listeners, you need to spread the word and thumbs down to abortion. I mean, that's my point of view and that's my, I'm sticking with it. I hope all my other listeners feel the same way about abortion. It's murder. And inform people that they have to understand when you go into these Planned Parenthoods, certain things can help you, certain things will help you. But most of the time, you know, if you have to go in there and kill your child, then something's not right. You know, it's just like people that kill men in an electric chair. Okay, who are you? Who gave you that right to kill somebody? You cop, you shot somebody, all these police. Who gave you the right? You have to answer to the higher being. You could do all that now, here in the physical, but regardless, when it's over, it's over. You have to answer to the creator. All right, so you could beat him here, but you ain't going to beat the Yahweh, though, everything that's good. You're not. You're going to pay for all that, all your actions. All right, and to our people, man, we need to really stand up, stand strong, pick your head up, stay focused, all right, and realize that we could pick it and all that, and we could put these signs up and say, oh, you know, it's hands down, hands up and all that. Yes, I'm for it and all that, but that's not going to get changed. Until we create a structure, we create our own banks, we put our money into our own communities, we stop letting these other cultures come into our community that's non, you know, it's not black, come into our communities and establish these businesses to take our money. When we could put our money in our neighborhoods and build our communities and make our communities ours like every other culture. I mean, the Jews make their communities theirs. Chinese make their community theirs. We need to make our community ours. We need to establish a flag for our people. All right? We need to establish some type of panel, some type of presidential structure for our people with our own laws for our people. And all the people out here running around crazy, we just need to make them pay. And what we need to do is we need to take our communities back. And it starts from the birth, from the youth, from inside the womb. So that breath of life, it starts there. That's where it changes at. Because our future is what's going to change. If we set up a structure better than our families did for us, then the kids have something to follow. All right, the thing about our families and our elders is that they just conform to living that way of life, to that structure. They didn't, when they had us, they didn't have anything to give us, to offer us, but life. They sent us out here, we got to do what we got to do. That's not how the other coaches do it, though. Other coaches have something established for their child when they get to a certain age, something to spring off of, something. So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we have to be aware. We have to come together. In the time that we're in now, we have to come together. We have to be aware of everything that's in front of us. We have to be aware of all these fake rappers and all they bull shit that they got on the radio, all this trash, all this garbage, all the women promoting that extra sex. I mean, we all love to see, you know, women, you know what I mean, ladies like what they like. But at the same time, we don't need an extra amount of it. You know what I mean? We don't have to have our youth thinking that being naked is the way to go for your 5 minutes of fame, your 10 minutes of fame. We don't need our young brothers going out here thinking that, excuse me, that shooting another brother up is going to get you that 15 minutes of fame. All right, because once you're locked up and that judge hits you with them numbers, it's a different story. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for tuning in to Third Eye Vision, www.thirdeyevisions.com. Check out the blog. It's hot like Africa in the summertime. Thank you for supporting the show. Be back Wednesday. And to my followers, greatly appreciate that you're still supporting the show. To wifey, what's up? To moms, what's up? To the family, what's up? To Mad Blogger, what's up? You know how we do. We keep it live and direct. Peace, love, and prosperity. And we out.
Why we can't breathe. The demands and voices of protest are raised across America. Voices of men and women, of children. Voices of rage. Voices of hope. Voices of deep mass discontent. These voices, as anguished as they are insistent, are voices of a generation that has been largely silent in the public square. Only through their poets and rappers have their voices been heard. But even then, commercial interests intruded, changing righteous rage into clever rhyme. Art, not imitating life, but sending it down a street it had not intended. Now, an awful truth emerges out of the sweet mouths of the youth. We can't breathe, they shout. The we is instructive, for it reveals the collective consciousness emerging. We can't breathe. Why not? Because in the richest country on earth, poverty pitches pennies on the street corner, hoping against hope to hit. Because a simple education is beyond the ability of the neoliberal state to provide. Because today's school is tomorrow's prison, and a place where hatred and humiliation lives. Not knowledge, not education, under the ridiculous rubric of no child left behind. Because for too many children, childhood is but an illusion, as it was for Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old boy doing what boys have been doing for over a century, playing with a toy gun, becomes a death sentence. Because every hand and every face is turned against them, as futures are as bleak as lunar landscapes. We can't breathe, they howl, but we can't hear them. The neoliberal state is too busy choking them to death. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.